All right, if you would take your Bibles, open up to Psalm 67. Psalm 67 was our theme passage in preparation for the trip, and I'd like to review that with you all, and then go to Romans chapter, the book of Romans, chapter 1 and chapter 16. But if you look at Psalm 67, I'll pretty much just read through this, and you'll see the emphasis here. This is a missionary psalm, along with just a handful of others in the Psalms. And here you see the reason for God being merciful and blessing them and causing His face to shine upon them has an impact among the nations and among the peoples. So let's kind of just read through this, and I hope that you'll see it. I did go over this before we left on the trip. Psalm 67, this is the word of the Lord. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. This is the word of the Lord. So again, I hope that you see the emphasis here in this passage about the blessing of God being upon the people of God so that the nations could experience the blessing of God. Now, if you'll go with me to Romans chapter 1. In the book of Romans, it has as bookends an emphasis on the gospel going to the nations. The word nations is found just a few other times in the book of Romans, beyond chapters 1 and 16. And in all of those places, the word nations is either quoted from the Old Testament having to do with Israel, or it's a word about Abraham being a father of many nations. Okay? So that's kind of in the middle of the book. But here in chapter 1, let's read verses 1 through... I'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 7, Romans chapter 1. If you found that tonight, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, if you'll join with me. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That's how God declared Jesus to be his son, was by the resurrection from the dead, ultimately and finally. Verse 5. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll note in verse 5 that they received this grace of apostleship for the obedience to the faith among the nations. So it's the same as Psalm 67. God was merciful to Paul and the apostles, and he blessed them. He allowed his face to shine upon them through the preaching of the gospel so that they could go and preach the gospel to the nations, that those nations would become obedient to the faith. Okay? Now, if you'll go with me to Romans chapter 16. As I said, this book begins and ends with passages concerning the nations. Romans 16, here in the benediction in verses 25 through 27. Here the scripture says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for what? Obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Both of these passages, speaking of the nations hearing the gospel and being obedient to the faith. That's what our goal is in missions, is to go and preach the gospel so that people will be just that. If you'll turn back with me now to Romans chapter 10. In Romans 10, in just a few verses here, I'll start at verse 11, though we could begin before that, but for the sake of time. Romans 10, verse 11. "For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." And I want to encourage everybody here, listen to that verse. If you believe on him, you will not be put to shame in the day of judgment. You will not regret it on that day. Verse 12. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be," what? Now, verse 14. Notice the questions here. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Now remember, verse 14, the first question goes back to verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord." And then he says in verse 14, "How then shall they call and be on the name of the Lord and be saved in whom they've not believed?" The next question, "And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a," what? "Preacher." And then in verse 15, "And how shall they preach unless they are," what? "Right. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then," in verse 17, "faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'll end there, but I would like to start off by saying thank you, church, for sending us to preach the gospel in Peru. It took thousands of dollars to get our team there, and the church covered almost the entire cost of the trip. Each person probably ended up contributing about $150 a piece, and that was to cover anything we wanted, you know, just on the trip, and to cover some of our own meals. But in large, New Life Baptist Church funded this work that we were able to take part in. So I know that I'll say this on behalf of the team. Thank you, church, for your generosity and for sending us to Peru to preach the gospel. At the end of it, my thoughts were, or really during it, my thoughts were not one penny of that money was wasted. Because we had a tremendous amount of, I believe, what would be God-appointed encounters to be able to clearly teach and proclaim the gospel to the people there. And the reason we were able to do that is because you sent us. And from my vantage point, that money was not wasted as far as what we could do to get the gospel to the people that we had opportunity to share it with. So thank you so much for that. Do you all agree with that, that you are grateful for the church providing that for you? We'll get into some of the pictures, and what we're going to do is just kind of walk through this, and we'll explain to you some of what's in the pictures. Various team members will come up throughout the presentation to do that for you all. And as we're going, feel free to ask questions. We want to be as concise but informative as possible, and we don't want to drag this out for too long because we could go on and on. At one point during the trip, I thought, I know why John wrote that if everything Jesus did were written in books, the world would not be able to contain it. What we're going to share with you tonight is not all of the trip. It's just a snippet of the trip. Every encounter, every conversation, every gospel presentation is not captured in these slides. There's much, much more, but I think this will give you an idea of what the trip was like. All right, let's see here. Then, you ready, Ethan? Let's make sure we're working. I'm not working right now, so I'm not sure. What's that? If we can't get this to work, let's swap back to the other one, okay? If we can't get this one to work, let's swap back to the other one. And I know the problem, okay? There is no battery in this. We need a AAA battery, and I think we'll be good to go. I sprung this on them last minute to swap to this one because this is a better pointer. So that's why there's not a battery in here. Go. All right. So this is the team. There are 7 gringos up there, and there are 6 Peruvians. All right. And I'll tell you the names of these real quick. You guys know who we are. But this is Joel. He's a pastor there in Peru. Peru is very large. There's 11 million people. In Lima. There's 11 million people or more in Lima. But he is the pastor of a church there, and he was my primary interpreter on the trip. And then this is Miguel and Willie. Willie's also an interpreter. And these two guys are brother-in-laws to Joel. Now, here is Marisol. She was an interpreter for the trip as well. She had her own room and accommodations throughout the trip. And then this is Herman, who actually married an American lady, I think from California, but they live in Peru now, and this is his first year to go with us. Joel, Miguel, and Willie were, and Sebastian's right there. That is Joel's brother. They were all on the trip with us last year and were very helpful. All right? Any questions about this so far? That's our team. Now next, Dennis is going to come up and tell you a little bit about these towns that that are on the map. Come on up, Dennis. Dennis is our senior missionary to Peru. You've gone 5 years now?
5 years. And I'm the only one that got sick going up the mountain, so... So the pastor asked me to be concise, and I'll just say a word about these 4 villages. These are villages that our mission partnership that was started by a retired Southern Baptist missionary. He started this partnership. It's multiple churches in multiple states. who send teams up there for short-term missions, and we're a part of that now, but we're not beholden to anybody. Each team kind of does what the Lord leads them to do, and we cooperate. So that's how that works. The villages of Cochise, San Joaquin, Huanyec, and Quinches were four villages that we've been serving, that particular partnership has been serving for multiple years, back to, 2016 or 17 maybe. In those villages, there's a Catholic church, and that's about it, except for Quinches, and I'll talk about that in just a second. There are believers in these villages, but sometimes we find that there are even more believers than they recognize. I'm sure Pastor Eric will get into an example of that later as we go through the pictures. The challenge that we have had, because our heart's desire from the partnership is to get an evangelical church or churches started amongst these villages. To do that, we need to get the villagers actually coming together and meeting. And for whatever reason, that has been a real struggle over the years. And we've tried various things. Leaving Bible studies, and we go back the next year, and we have to pick up right where we left off, because they haven't touched it since we left there. This year, we left some audio Bibles, hopefully that they'll come together and listen to the Bible. In one village, we actually have someone's going to do the reading. So pray for these people, because I don't know, for whatever reason, this is not something that they seem to have gotten the vision for yet. So we really want them to get the vision for that. We are trying to work with a potential full-time missionary to be in that area, but he's from Haiti. There's been paperwork problems. We won't go into that. But our work has been to encourage these people and to move towards getting the evangelical church started in that area. I'm sure Pastor Eric will talk to you more about the churches of Quinches and the fellowship that's starting there. Yeah. So that's those four villages. There is one more village called Mayoran, and that was not a village we supported until like this past 2 years, when some people from Mayoran signed up for the water filters that our mission that year installed in people's homes. And so we did that 1 year to not only give them water filters, but to be able to get in their homes and provide testimony to the Lord. So Mayoran is even farther away, and it's a real small village, and it's not one that we were supporting this year with New Life. That's about all for the rundown on the villages. Anything else that you want to?
I'll just point out, we stayed here last year, right? Coaches.
Yeah.
This is the road that goes along the mountains to get to the villages. We were here last year. You got to go through San Joaquin, and then we stayed in Quinches this year.
Quinches.
So it's you have hot water in Quinches.
Yes.
You have cold water in Coaches.
Yes.
And then Wanyak's up the hill here from Quinches. We didn't spend any time in San Joaquin this time, besides driving through.
We drove through.
But we did in these other three
places. All right, thank you, Dennis. All right, questions about that? I don't know. That's just a picture I got off Facebook that somebody put on there. Who did it? Right. Yeah. So Sherry highlighted them. I was wondering that myself, so I'm glad to know the answer. Good job. Yep, Caleb. Yeah, 9,500 feet to 10,500. And I believe last year the other village you talked about was around 12,500 feet. But that's what I recall from last year. There's a little difference. Let me show you what we're facing here.
On the screen, you'll see several pictures, and I just labeled these icons and idols. This is outside of the town we were staying in, Quinches. We happened to be there one evening, and this was all lit up there at the entrance of the city. I think that's Mary. And these types of images are scattered around all over the place. They're all over the place. I do not know who that is. It may be another one of Mary. A lot of these represent saints, and they believe that if something like this is there, then it represents or means the presence of that saint is there in that place as well. So I'll run through several of these, and you can just take a look at them. Very clean-cut American-looking fellow right there. That was up on the hill close to where the little church house is where they meet. This is inside the Catholic church that's there in Quinches. The door was open, so we walked through one day and I snapped a few pictures. See some disciples there. You'll see Jesus, the crucifix, Jesus hanging on the cross, and that's not uncommon to see there at all. This is all inside the place of worship. In between these, they're lined on each wall. In between, there are wooden pews. That's at the very front of the building. You see how ornate that is. See some disciples there, probably Mary, and I guess that would be Jesus there in the middle. I'm not sure who he is and who that poor fellow is below the horse. Okay. Can you imagine going to church and having that on each side of you all over the place? Now, let's get to Lord Kachui. This is Lord Kachui. This was at a school in Wanyak. And I believe that at the top of that, for you Spanish people, does that say bless us? And at the bottom, it reads Señor Ascended de Kachui, of Kachui. So, you see, they view him as kind of a mixture of Jesus and this person that they call Lord Kachui. Here's another example of this. This was hanging in a restaurant slash store in Cochise. It's at a store where they removed it last year when we left, but have since put it up. And it's the first thing I looked for when I went into that store. And we began to ask, why did they put it back up? And it's because she said that after they had taken it down, and I'll just make a long story short, things fell apart in their marriage. Their parents told them the reason things are so bad now is because you no longer honor Lord Kachui. So they put this back up and then took their 7-year-old son and rededicated him to Kachui. After that. And these are people who have been taught the gospel and who know the gospel and may have at some point even professed faith in Jesus Christ. But yet, you see how steep their beliefs about these various lords are. Now, that's a closer view of Kachui. And then here at the bottom, and I had asked Miss Laura translate this for us, and let's see if I can find that. Here's what the bottom of this says. The top of it says, bless my home and my work. The bottom says, pour out your blessings on all your faithful ones. We ask your forgiveness for our sins. Strengthen us in our faith. Grant us wisdom and love toward our neighbors. Protect us always in our work and home. Amen. Is that what it says? Could y'all read that? So, I feel bad even reading that in a Christian church, but I want us to understand what's going on in these mountains among these people. It is a syncretism to where, yes, they have the gospel, but it has been syncretized with so much other religious beliefs and myths that they have. One day, we went to a soup kitchen. This is a picture of the soup kitchen. And Joelle and I went there, and I sat down across from these ladies, and I said, "Do you believe in Lord Kachui?" They said, "Oh, yes, of course." I said, "Well, tell me about Lord Kachui." So to tell you real quickly the story of Kachui, there was a man who was shepherding or herding his cattle on a mountain or a hill called Kachui. A little boy suddenly appeared. He took the little boy home, woke up the next morning, the little boy's gone. They go back to Kachui, and the little boy's at the mountain or the hill called Kachui. Someone else takes the boy away to take care of him. Wake up, he's gone. Go back to the hill. There the little boy is back at Kachui. They then built a little house for him so that he could live there. And they believe to this day, and this is probably hundreds of years since this developed, they still believe that if they go to that mountain, that there is a little boy there living in that house, who's, and they call him Lord Kachui. I know it's crazy. There's an 87-year-old woman named Louisa that we talked to who believed that Kachui healed her years ago from her affliction. The people who own the store who put the plaque back up in their room, in their building, believe that she went there. They went there for 7 years on a pilgrimage. And then finally, Kachui allowed her to have a baby. That lady right there believes firmly in Kachui. She's the one who gave us most of the information that I just shared with you. So you see, this is a place that is very dark, including all the idols and icons that I showed you and now have shared with you the beliefs that they hold. It is a very dark place, and the Catholic Church does nothing to help deliver them from that. As a matter of fact, did you know that the Catholic Church will have a mass every year in honor of Kachui? In addition to having masses in honor of various saints. So is it important that people go there and preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaim it publicly and from house to house? I tell you, I'm absolutely convinced that it is important, because very few are going there and doing that. And I want you to know that our team did that while we were there. Okay? So that's a little soup kitchen. There. Let's begin to work through these pictures. Any questions? Any questions? Dennis? It does. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And I've termed it a couple of times as modern-day Baalism. If you look at the Old Testament, you know they would rely upon Baal for rain, fertility, everything. And they would do things, sacrifice to him in order to garner that. And these people are very much the same way. It's a modern-day Baalism with a different name, where they are in bondage to it and relying upon this false god. And I would even go so far to say it is a demon behind that god, a little g god, that they are worshiping by doing these things. Okay? Anybody else? All right, moving on. This is where we stay. That's outside of the hotel. This is the inside of it. Lush accommodation. This is a picture above the city, kind of give you an idea what it's like. This is where we ate most of the time. Andrew.
It was cool that night. And plus, we looked so cool in them. But we all looked wore out there because that was our first day there. That night, we had just arrived.
All down
there. Yeah. Yeah. But you kind of see what the stores are like there, okay? And Gabby accommodated us for many meals while we were there. But it was cooler there, a little cooler there than it is now, but the weather was great. This is Dennis, street preaching in Cochise, or open-air preaching there in Cochise, and this is where we stayed last year. We preached and taught publicly and from house to house. That's found in Acts chapter 20, where Paul told the elders from Ephesus that they did just that. They taught publicly and from house to house. Two things. Anybody remember what the two things were? Chapter 20, verse 21 of Acts. Two things that were profitable. What was it? Anybody remember? Right. That's it. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So we did that publicly, but as you see here, this is from house to house. And this is Jeremiah and Louisa. Jeremiah, she calls him the prophet. And he is 89 or 90 years old, and she is 87 years old. They've been married for 66 years and lived right there in that place. And she, you can't see her very well, but she believes that Kachui healed her years ago. And we tried to walk her through Scripture and tell her the truth about all of that, along with justification by faith in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. Last year, when I met her outside of Gabby's restaurant, I asked her, what does it take for a person to go to heaven? She said, keep the Ten Commandments. When we got there, I knew I wanted to go find Louisa to ask her the same question. So we went to find her. We met her in one of the alleyways coming up from her house. And I said, Louisa, what does it take for a person to go to heaven? She said, keep the Ten Commandments. So we again went through justification by faith in Christ apart from the works of the law. And that's part of what we are going over there in our study. This would actually become a very significant location. Now, this is another Bible study with Esperanza that we were having. She is a believer, but she believes in Kachui. She's one of the ladies that was sitting in that soup kitchen. That even after this Bible study, where we showed her from Colossians that everything that she needs is found in Christ, she still holds to those beliefs that has been taught to her entire life. So this is another Bible study that we have. This is a picture of Joel and Randy outside of Jeremiah and Louisa's house. Now, these pictures are pictures of, well, let's see, boys. Will, did you give any of these out? Did you give any out? Come up and tell us what these were. I'll kind of flip through the pictures as you're telling that. Let me make sure this is on for you. Okay.
These were audio Bibles. People in the villages. It was mainly for people who didn't have access to anything like that and that were interested in learning more. We gave one to this one lady who had some leg problems. We prayed for her one day and then came back and was able to give her an audio Bible the next day. And her cousin, was it her cousin? Uncle? Somebody, her brother, came in and he wanted one too when he worked in the fields. And so we were able to give him one and share the gospel with both of them. So they were pretty good as far as giving out to people who needed them.
Why is it important to give them an audio Bible?
So they have the Word of God with them?
Yeah.
And they can, yeah, learn.
And a lot of them don't have the Bible and can't even read, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can't read?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of these people y'all gave
Bibles to can't even read if they did have a Bible. So you gave this to them, now they can listen to it, listen to the Word of God.
Yeah, they can't read.
Yeah.
Where did y'all get these?
Dennis? Yeah. Thank you, Will.
There's an organization.
There is an organization called Faith Comes by Hearing, and they have donors that send in donations, and they give these to you to take around the world and give to people. So that's a very big, huge blessing for us. Yeah.
I'm sure they're in various languages,
yes,
too, depending on where you're going.
Lots of different languages. And so. Yeah.
Was there a specific local dialect for this area? Peru, was it just
No, in Peru, they have a fairly pure form of Spanish, and so if, in the villages, they speak Spanish. There may be some there that know Quechuan, but everybody there speaks Spanish, so, yeah.
Do these run on battery,
or? Oh, good question.
Yep, good question.
So there are multiple ways to charge these proclaimers. They have a solar panel, so you can charge them in the sun, and they also have this USB cable that you can plug into your phone charger and use, so. Anything else?
Would that be a good PBS project to maybe contribute to?
I'm sure Faith Comes by Hearing would love any donations that come their way. So, yeah.
It's a good idea, Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron asked if this would be a good Vacation Bible School love offering project for the love offering to go toward. It's a good idea.
Yes, and the ones that we gave out this year were full Bibles, and we actually had the option of having New Testament first, and which it did.
Okay.
Because so when they first bring it up, it comes up in the New Testament, and we showed them how to use it. They're very easy to navigate with the buttons on them, and so we've made sure to we didn't just hand them it and walk away. We showed them how to use them. So.
Good questions.
Any other questions?
Good.
Right.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
And Will, I'll add to that, even if they can read or have a Bible, a lot of them can't see well enough to read.
Right.
So this covers a lot of different areas of need that they might have.
Yeah, this lady said the print of her Bible is too small.
Yeah.
So, as I heard that.
You heard Dennis talk about listening groups earlier. The listening group was for this, for people to be able to gather around a proclaimer and listen to the Bible. And the hope was to have people who would be able to lead that. Andrew?
The age demographic, was it just like old, young, or was it mostly older folks that like were able to witness to and minister to?
I think as we go through the slides, we'll be able to address that. If we don't, let me know. All right, now, this picture, Clay, come up and tell about this. We were in Wanyak. Do you know much about this picture? Grant, do you? Y'all remember where this fellow is from? He's from New Jersey. He was from New Jersey. And he was there with some relatives. His parents were, I think, from Wanyak. Okay, what question did they ask? Will, do you remember what question they were asking about the time we walked up? They were asking, what's the difference between Catholicism and evangelicalism? So they were wondering, what is the difference? So that was an opportunity for us to go into the differences. And, you know, basically, justification by faith in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. And then we went into some other things like the Lord Kachui and all of that. And the thing that we emphasized there, you know, Jesus Christ is the only one who has died and risen again. And because of that, He is Lord of both the living and the dead. There is no other true Lord. It's only Jesus, and He deserves that rightful spot because He is the one who has done that. He has died and risen from the dead. Lord Kachui has not done that. Right? So, They try to bring the two up on a evil level plane. Does anybody else have a comment on this picture? All right. Anybody have a question? All right. Now, this is... Yep. Sherry.
Do all those villages there believe in Lord Kachui the same way?
I would say there's probably some variance in the beliefs, but they all do believe in Lord Kachui. And around the time we go, right before it, is kind of a celebration of Lord Kachui. There were people in this town who were there because of him.
Is it regional or is it all over?
From what I understand, it's regional. If you go to other places, you'll find a different Lord that people will pay homage to or worship.
And every village has a patron saint as well.
All right. Now, Clay, come up here and tell us about this. I don't know what's going on here. It's the first time I've seen this picture, but come on up and tell us about what's happening here.
So right here, boy was sitting on his phone just playing a game, I think. And we just walked up to him and asked him, how does he think he can get to heaven? And he didn't know, so we just shared the gospel with him and told him that you can't be saved through saints or idols or anything, only through Jesus. And then he asked if we could pray for him, and
okay, is that what you're doing there?
Yeah, we prayed for him.
Okay, good. Good job. Our young folks did a great job of going up to people, not being satisfied with just giving them a tract, but to actually talk to them, learn about them, and then share the gospel with them. Anything else on that, Clay? Or is that you? That happened in Quiches, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The young kids are very much like here. They'll be sitting around on their phones. Not like literally on them, but, looking at them. And they'll be there for hours on their phones. And our guys went up to them and shared the gospel with them. So very thankful. So that kind of answers your question, Andrew. We talk to old people. We talk to young people as well. Here we see some other activities. Will, come on up and share about this. What's going on right here in these couple of pictures? Will Swinney, come on up. It's a couple of different ones here that you'll see. What's happening here?
So those were the in the evenings or just throughout the day, we'd have times where we'd play with the kids and just
closer to the mic.
We brought different things to play with them. We had like soccer balls or volleyballs. We played volleyball, soccer, and little just random games.
All right. And so that was in the evening, and those are at different villages that we were at.
Bible lesson afterward.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's a Bible lesson right there that they're having with the kids after the games. Anything else, Will? All right. Grant, come on up and tell us about what's going on right here and where we're located. All right, let Grant finish this. Let Grant tell about this, and then we'll answer questions on that.
Right now we're in Cochise in this picture. They've got a big old arena down in one of the squares. And we got to go down there with some of the high schoolers the younger people, and play soccer. They've got a volleyball net in there. We played volleyball and just kind of get to play around with them, some of that they don't get to do a whole lot with. And eventually we got to share the gospel with them younger people. So
good. So our folks, after they would play, interact with them in this way, they were then, would pull them to the side and talk to them and tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you all a little bit more about that in a little bit. Thank you, Grant. Somebody have a question? Sherry, did you have a question on that? Jacinda? So the question is, did we meet many English speakers beside the translators? And I'd say no, not many. Occasionally, you would meet someone with some broken English, but for the most part, we did not meet too many. Now, back the man that was from New Jersey, you remember in a couple of slides back, he could speak some English. You all agree with that we didn't meet a whole lot of English speakers?
One guy that spoke a little.
Yep. Andrew?
What was the general sentiment of, you guys from America coming around? Because I know some Latino countries, the sentiment's no, stay away from us.
So the question is, what was the general sentiment toward us gringos? I feel like folks were fairly receptive. Most people wanted to know why we were there.
Okay. That was a great
and it is a great opportunity for the gospel. Let's keep going. Let's see, I don't know what's going on right here at all. So, Will or Clay, y'all come on up. Which one of y'all wants to tell about this? Come on up, Will.
This was the lady and her brother, cousin, uncle, whatever it was I talked about earlier. There's one day we were just walking around looking for people to talk to, and I think we saw her, somebody she was related to, wanted us to come pray for her, so we went into her house and prayed for her. She had like a leg problem or whatever. And then we were trying to figure out what to do a couple days later, so we went back to her house, talked to her, gave her an audio Bible, and then, yeah, her uncle, I'll call him her uncle, he was there, and he was interested. He wanted an audio Bible for when he was working in the fields to be able to listen while he was doing that. The people, the guys anyway, they're pretty much in the fields all day long. So he wanted one to be able to listen to the Bible while he was working in the fields.
All right. Good. Was that in, where, do you remember what town? Keaches. All right. Very good. Thank you, Will.
Just to follow up a little bit about what he just said.
You go ahead.
These people work 7 days a week. They are in the fields all the time. So we
can y'all hear back there in the back? Can y'all hear back there?
Just to follow up on what Will said, the people down there are hard working just to survive. They're working 7 days a week, going out to their fields and such. And so that gives us a small window in the evenings, basically, to be able to interact with more people. We do find some people around in the villages during the day, but the majority of folks are coming in the evening. So.
Good. The question is, what were they doing in the field for their work?
Yes, it's very agricultural, and it's all by hand. Their fields are terraced up the side of a mountain. There's no way to get machinery in there. They basically farm like they did 400 years ago, right? So,
yeah. Jacinda? So the question is, did we split up for most of the day and then and come back together? We were typically in the same town, but we would split up into groups and go around. Like for those three villages, we put a gospel track on every door, and we split up to do that. So we were in the same town typically, but split up while we were there.
And
most of the time.
We gave out over 900 gospel tracts while we were down there.
So. Yep. Good. Thank you, Dennis. Now, this is just a picture of some guys building a house, building in Cochise. I was interested in that. There was a bench right there. Joelle and I sat down on that bench, and I talked to them about construction and shared the gospel with them. They were kind of a captive audience right there. Now, this is, I want to tell you all about Christian. All right, this is Christian. Or do one of you guys want to tell about him? Clay, you want to come tell about him? Will S., did you? All right, I'll do it. A Christian is in Keaches. He was there last year. He's just as friendly as he can be. He'll come up to you and give you a hug. He started hanging around with us a good bit. You can see his foot. He was born that way with a club foot. He is the youngest of, I believe it's 11. And he says that the reason he has that foot is because he's the youngest. He was the last one born. We were sitting there. It was at this time. And we were just talking. And we had been asking people the question, how can you go to heaven? The typical answer was, keep the Ten Commandments, live a good life, confess your sins to the priest. There was one other one that I can't remember right now. Those are the typical answers. Keep the Ten Commandments, live a good life, confess your sins to the priest, go to the Catholic Church, something like that. Christian was sitting there, and I just thought, I'm going to ask him. Christian, how can you go to heaven? He said, believe on Jesus Christ. And Clay was kind of standing there. He said, ask him when he learned that. I said, so we asked him, when did you learn that? And he turned and pointed back around to a little arena where he'd been playing ball with our youth. And they had pulled him to the side, everybody who was out there with them, and preached the gospel to him. And he said, that's where I learned it, right there, from those kids who told me. So He learned about salvation through faith in Christ, and we hope that that's a seed that's planted that one day will bring forth fruit in his life, so that when there's all that other junk that's taught around there, we pray that that will always be in his mind and in his heart and ultimately in his mouth, so that he confesses Jesus Christ as Lord and believes in his heart that Jesus is raised from the dead. He's never been to a doctor about his foot. He's 10 years old. Okay? Randy, come tell us about this. Here's a couple of pictures of you having some conversations.
Yeah, first of all, I do also want to say thank you. I know Eric did on behalf of all of us, but thank you to the church for your faithfulness to give to the Lord, and for the church using that money to send us. It was a great blessing. And as you can see, we had a lot of opportunities to share the gospel, and these are two opportunities that I had with an interpreter to share the gospel. The gentleman on your right was that Abraham or Isaac? That was Abraham. We it was interesting. We were walking through. That was in Cochise or Wanyak. It was in one of them. But anyway, we were going around putting tracts on doors and came across this gentleman, and so we were able to share the gospel with him. Ask him his name. He was Abraham. We walked about 2 minutes further, met another gentleman, shared the gospel with him, and he was Isaac. And so then Will was like, I guess we'll meet Jacob next. But we didn't. The next one we met was this gentleman here, which is Francisco. And Francisco is a baker with a brick oven, bakes the old-fashioned way, great bread. But we got to share the gospel with him as well. He is one that Dennis knows from previous trips. 90 years old, I think. Been baking since he was 16. But would have had a good opportunity to share the gospel. I know he's heard the gospel many times. But like so many, and like Eric has shared, we asked him, you know, could he tell me how to go to heaven? And he didn't know. I mean, he didn't share. I think he said be good or different things like that. But so we had the opportunity to share the gospel with him again. And so we just had so many opportunities to share the gospel and plant those seeds. And we do, like Eric said, we just pray that that they will take root and God will bring true repentance and faith for many of these people.
Amen. Thank you. Questions?
My Peruvian grandpa, because he reminded me so much of my grandpa. He's not, obviously not old enough to be my grandpa.
So Dennis calls Francisco his Peruvian grandpa. Yep, go back a long ways. Let's see. This is in the church where I preached one night. That was a Saturday night. This is the little church building up on the hill. Now, real quickly, this is Jose. This is Maria. The building that I just showed you belongs to Maria, and she gathers there with other believers on a fairly regular basis. Jose has been trying to gather with believers, mostly his family in his house, since COVID. These people are in the same village. There's very few believers there. One of the things that we hope will be a success from our trip is that we brought these two together and they agreed to start meeting on Sunday at the same time every Sunday in a more accessible location. And that location happened to be a place that Jose owns. Do you remember Jeremiah and Louisa? And that path kind of going in? It's right there in their courtyard, off to the left. And that allowed us on a Sunday, the day before we left, on the spur of the moment, a week ago today, to try to help Jose improve a room, that room, that's right there off the courtyard. So Grant and Randy, along with Herman, stayed back and worked to put a tarp up on the roof, on the ceiling, and then to help get some walls painted. Jose, Herman, Randy, and Grant were all there working, and then the rest of us came in to try to help finish some things up that afternoon. So that was a project we did not expect at all. That was not on the radar. But we saw a window of time where we could jump in there and help, and we had some people with gifts to be able to do that. And so by God's grace, we were able to do that. And one of the things we need to be praying for as a church is for this group of believers that are going to start trying to meet together. And we want to try to encourage them any way that we can, and certainly lift them up in prayer. Any questions? Caleb?
That building, was it built as a church building, or did he just own it and now they're going to try to use it?
Yeah, it's just a building. It's like a little house. That's just one open room right there with a dirt floor. And they're going to try to use it as a meeting place. John?
Do y'all have any contact on that? Did they meet this?
We have, from what I understand, we have Jose's number on WhatsApp. Is that correct?
I know
Joel does, okay? So we could contact him through that, which would be good. It's not going to be easy for them, okay? So that we really need to pray for them. John, go ahead.
Are they meeting at the same time as the Catholic Church?
I'm not sure when the Catholic Church meets, but they were talking about trying to meet at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Early enough so that people who do want to go out to the work field to work will be able to come to church and still go out. Kaylee? Is everyone required to what? No, they're not required to. Life is probably a little more difficult for you if you don't in these villages, but no, they are not required to. Good questions. This is a man that the Lord led us to, Adon. And he has a good testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, but he is somewhat ashamed of the gospel, and he has never been baptized. So after hearing his testimony, the thing that I pointed him to was his need to be baptized as a disciple of Jesus Christ and not try to live the Christian life without obeying what Jesus said a Christian is supposed to do. So that is Adon, and he's in Coaches. This is just I like that word, justification. And seeing that word there led to a gospel opportunity. Because there was an official there. They're about to have their presidential election on June the 7th. This is a week from next Sunday, I think. June the 6th. But after talking to that official, I asked him the meaning of this word. And for them, and here it means to be right before the government is basically what it means. If you have to miss the election, you have a right excuse. You're in the right. So then I was naturally able to flow into the gospel with how we can be justified before God, be right before God through faith in Jesus Christ.
They are required to vote in Peru.
Yep. You're required to vote from the age 18 to 70. If you don't, you have to pay a fine. In these villages like Coaches, there's 234 people registered to vote from Coaches, but 100 and about 40 of them live in Lima. So they've all, you remember David in the census? They all have to come back to Coaches in order to cast their vote for president, or they'll pay a fine, depending on their category, if they do not come back to Coaches. In Coaches, there's 90 to 100 people who can vote. And in Keaches, I can't remember the number there. That's Randy and Dennis standing right there. That's in Wanyak. And you can't see it, but Randy, do you remember what the date was?
1589, I believe. 488 years,
right here. 1589 is when that town was established. This is our group in Lima near the end of our time there, where we had a lot of great opportunities we haven't told y'all anything about, but a lot of tracts were given out there in this huge city of 11.5 million people, and our guys worked really hard there, so very thankful for them. And then that's our group again. Any questions? That's all of our presentation. Any questions?
You get to do some street preaching at Lima?
We did. They have an amphitheater there, and one night I preached there. They have a couple of amphitheaters around. It's real good. Real good opportunities. Any other questions?
You preached in the park by the sea, too.
Yep. All right. Now, when I talked about the church being able to fund our trip, that is from our missions fund. Because what we do as a church, we take 12% of everything that's given, say on a monthly basis, and we put that in our missions fund. And we pay our monthly obligations to missionaries through that, but there's money that builds up in that fund that is able to be used otherwise for missions. So we had money there available to go towards sending our own people on mission to preach the gospel in Peru. And so that's where that money came from, in case anyone is wondering about that. Thank you all so much. Any other questions? If not, we'll be dismissed. I'll ask. Yep, go ahead.
Mark your calendars for May 22 to 29, 2027.
We think it's going to be right there around that time. Yeah, right there around that same time, May 22nd to 29th, or maybe 19th to 27th. So let us iron that out. We'll know better at the end of next week. Okay? But if you're interested in going, you can start planning toward that. Randy?
Can I share something real quick?
Yep.
I just have three things. Won't take over half an hour. No. Real quickly, I did just want to share... thankful to the Lord, He's blessed us with a great pastor who leads us and encourages us, and he's an energizer bunny. I mean, he goes, and God has just really blessed us, and I'm thankful for Brother Eric and how God has used him and equipped him, that has encouraged and helped us to go and to share the gospel. And with that, just a couple quick things about how good God is. Thankfully God gave us energy to go and share the gospel, and we got to do that a lot. By the end of the week, I was out of words. I just couldn't talk. I mean, I don't have a lot of words I could say. But just God's goodness, He provided the opportunity for Grant and I to work on that church. That's just God's goodness, because we could still do that. You know, I was getting weary speaking to people, but God blessed us with an opportunity to be able to bless them and help them, and that's just a sign of a hand of God's goodness in that, to be able to work on the church. And then also I was asked about Lord Kachui. Is that regional? And yes, he's regional. People in Lima, most of them have no clue who Lord Kachui is, but the great thing about our God is Jesus Christ is universal. He is Lord of all the earth. He's not regional. He is the Lord of all the earth, and that's the message that we need to share. So,
thank Amen. You. Thank you. Anybody else from the team have anything you'd like to say in closing remarks? Dennis? Any other questions? Dorothy? The question is, did people remember us from last year? And I'd say yes, a lot of them did. A lot of them did. And we remembered a lot of them as well, so that's neat to see the same faces year after year. Very good.
One last thing, just one thing. It is interesting to note that each of these villages is so different. Did you notice that? San Joaquin, which we didn't...
Can y'all hear back there?
I'm sorry.
Real quick, we're past time, so we need to.
Yeah. Each of the villages is so different, and it's interesting when you go there, because in Cochise, most of the believers are women. In Huanyac, most of the believers are men. So it's very different. San Joaquin, which we did not go to, they are very hungry for Bible study. You ran into someone from San Joaquin, says, when are they coming to do Bible study? And we do have a team from the partnership that's focusing on San Joaquin this year. But I'm just surprised at how different the villages are and the way that they react to you. Yeah.
Amen. Aaron, would you pray for us? And then, Andrew, will you come lead us in our closing song?
Lord, we thank you for this break that you had of the work that you were doing there in Peru. God, we are thankful that this church had the funds and resources to be able to send out missionaries from our own congregation, God, to go and share the gospel with folks down there. Lord, I pray that the seeds that were planted, the gospel presentation that many people heard, God, that would take root, and God, that many people would come to know you and give their lives to you, God, and Lord, help them not to be overshadowed or become weary, Lord, just with the different doctrines, Lord, or theologies, or just ways of Catholic Church, Lord, and specifically down there, God. I pray that that wouldn't dissuade them or take your word, God, away from them, Lord, but that they would be able to persevere in that, God, that they would recognize the error that is all around them, Lord. And God, we pray especially, Lord, for those who are meeting together, God, that you would help that to take root, that they would flourish, and that that church would grow, God. There in Peru would come to know you and glorify you as the one true God. And Lord, we are just thankful to be a small part of